Hello, America. This is Michael Loftus from the Loftus Party Podcast, coming to all our ships at sea and all our brave air and airmen fighting in this great war. Yes, that's right. It's us against them. I'm using this ridiculous English accent for no reason whatsoever. On the other line, please stay tuned. We have the Liberty Gypsy. She's back. She's better than ever. She's a little upset at the Georgia Bulldogs because that is the official Gypsy football team of record. We're going to be talking about social media kung fu, Hunter Biden, the NBA, China, a young lady by the name of Jane Fonda, who can stay after the news. I don't know how long I'll use this accent. It's making me laugh. How's it going?
I'm still recovering. I'm more than disappointed in the Georgia Bulldogs, but you know, that's the thing about being a fan of any team in Georgia. The year we like killed it in the first half of the Super Bowl and then lost to my arch nemesis, the Patriots, and then, you know, the Braves were at it earlier this week and gave away more runs in the first inning than like everybody in history. And yeah, the Bulldogs lost. So it just a bad week for Georgia fans.
So it hurts. It hurts. Welcome aboard. I'm a Cleveland Indian fan. I used to be a Cleveland Browns fan back when I followed the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to that kind of pain. Okay. Yep. Yep. We'll circle back. We'll circle back to sports. A little update on everybody. We got a little plan going. We're going to talk about our little plan here because I'm excited about this. And there's other people that are excited about this. The Freedom to Laugh tour, we're heading to Houston, Texas on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, we're going to be outside of Dallas in a little suburb, Addison. The president is going to be doing a rally in Texas. I'm trying to make some magic happen there. I want to meet some people. So anyway, one of the dudes on this tour is Chad Prather. He's kind of a big muckety muck over at the Blaze TV. And I love it. I love it when like two events happen. It's a confluence of goodness. A couple years ago, you and I were hanging out at CPAC, and I know I was less than impressed with the energy there. Now, it was weird because it was right after Trump won. So maybe it was just like a down year, whatever. But I'm like, these people.
Before Trump won?
No, it was right after.
It was right after.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Remember, I think we were still suffering from Obama hangover.
Yeah. Everybody was just like, oh, dude, last year was crazy. Last year was nuts. You should have been here. Which you always get that from comedy clubs by the time, too. Like when you go to a comedy club, and, you know, the place holds 500 and there's only like 200 people in there. They go, oh, dude, last week it was packed. Last week. It's always like they always say like you just missed it. Oh, dude, CPAC last year. So you and I had this plan to like we wanted to throw some kind of bash. And it's tough. It's hard. It's a big thing. CPAC is a big thing. So as fate would have it, you were talking to some people from CPAC. And I was talking about this after our Omaha show. I know my guys are into it. Reno Collier is into the idea. Brian Hayner's into it. Chad Prather is into it. Now, it might get a little bit dicey, the cross-pollination, but I have to think Blaze would be into having a good time. So
I would hope so. They've got a lot of good time people on their network.
Yeah. So we got to do, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you guys have ever been to CPAC. It's kind of nerdy. It's kind of like Comic-Con, but for right-leaning politics.
Yeah, like Lollapalooza for political nerds, yeah.
It needs fun.
It needs more palooza.
Yeah, like I remember being very bummed out that like Breitbart was throwing, the year you and I were there after Trump's victory, Breitbart was throwing some party, but it was at a secret location and invitation only. And I'm like, okay, you guys might think you're the cool kids. And to a certain extent, I guess, I don't know, you are. But like, why be a jerk about it? Why not just have like a big giant open, come on in, have a good time. So that's what we want to do. That's what we want. Here's what I want. I want an evening of comedy. I want a DJ. I want dancing. I want tons of booze. I want Fox News personalities. I want Breitbart personality. I want everybody. I want it to be just a freaking wild shindig.
Oh, my God.
Epic.
I have to ask you.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you see? Because, oh, my God, we should totally include this, if it's even possible. Did you see Tom Shalhoub doing Adam Schiff on Gutfeld last night.
I did not. I did not. God. Was it hilarious? Because as you're saying it, I'm like, that's a very, very funny idea.
Oh, my God. He had his hair slicked back just like Schiff's, and he had the bug eyes just like Schiff. He had the timing of the speech down. Like, that was the video I needed to see today. I died laughing.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Shalhoub.
He pops in. The video's out there. It's actually on my TL. But he pops in like a couple times during the show. The first time he did, he read Old Mother Hubbard as Adam Schiff. Like, oh my God.
That's great.
And then the SNL Oscar the Grouch skit. Did you see that?
I did not.
Okay, they're basically bashing everybody about the Joker, and they do a trailer for the origin story for Oscar the Grouch.
That's great.
It's
wild.
Awesome.
It's wild awesome. How, like, the mainstream media and, like, CNN is kind of, like, bummed out that there hasn't been violence with the Joker movie. It's wild to see.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Bad. Why would we want that?
Here's the deal. Like, people are reading into it, and I guess I can kind of see it too. Like, they're trying to make this connection. Like, the Joker represents the white disaffected male that voted for Trump. That's what they're trying to do. And like, okay. Oh, that's why the Joker movie is popular. They've tapped into these angry white males. So they need to, like, make it a bad thing. Like, it's great cinema.
Alternately, the Batman franchise has been popular for decades. The original Joker evolved, what, in like the 40s or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Joker was out in like 1939.
Can we just say, like, I mean, you had an entire television show, and I know you weren't a fan, but I liked it. Gotham that went through all of the origin stories for these characters in the appropriate time period, and they were all a little whacked.
Yeah, so it's very odd to see a series of stories from the left, from CNN. If you look at the Rotten Tomatoes score of it, it's crazy. It's like the media loved the idea of the movie. Oh my gosh, Joaquin Phoenix, this, that. Mm-hmm. And then they saw the movie and like decided, okay, now we have to torpedo this thing. Now we have to.
Really?
It's very, very strange.
Well, it's like
really
what they
strange.
Did. But it's like they're so out of touch with the rest of basically the entire world. I mean, look at the Rotten Tomatoes on David Chappelle's. Only 33% of critics gave it a positive rating, but 99% of normal people did.
Right, right. Which is, and someone wrote an article about this. It's like the people who review movies and the people who review comedy specials and stuff, they have to take like this social justice warrior point of view. It's all like this, political posturing. So they're, well, Chappelle, he was talking about politics. He was talking about the whole social justice aspect of it all and can cancel culture. So they have to wrap it's virtue signaling. And so they're doing it now with the Joker, and it's hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious to me. It's an organized mindset where they're like, oh no, we have to dislike Joker because here's how we interpret it. So we have to kind of try to take this movie down. It's audience
but
scores.
What I was seeing is they're trying to cast the Joker as one of these incels, which they want us to believe is every like early 20s white dude, which it's not. It's the same people that had no social skills and didn't do well with women when I was in high school. I mean, there's a couple of them in every class, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they want you to believe that this is like some kind of misogynistic movement that's going to take over white men, and it's ridiculous.
Absolutely. These are the people who voted for Trump, so they're trying to take that down. Meanwhile, they're trying to prop up things like Batwoman, this new show on Flippin' WB or whatever the heck the name of that channel is. So the new, like hardcore lesbian, every other scene is about her being a lesbian, 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 lesbian. Oh, and I also happen to be Batwoman. It's gotten...
Supergirl was kind of popular. Why did they have to go wreck Batwoman?
because they need to be woke. They need to be socially relevant. They need to talk about these things. Someone has to tackle these very tough issues, and it's so dang boring. It's got a Rotten Tomatoes score, an audience score of 10. 10.
Well, that's like people, the whole Elizabeth Warren thing. It's all about the conversation, whether or not it's accurate.
Do you know what I mean? We're all over the board, and I'm kind of digging it because it's kind of a roller coaster ride of a podcast today. But the conversation, everyone has to have a conversation.
We have to make Batwoman something she never was, right? So we can have a conversation. Elizabeth Warren gets to go lie about something that happened to her 30, 40 years ago so we can have a conversation.
Kamala Harris is talking about. That's like the easiest thing to do. Somebody presents you with a tough choice, and you go, I think we should have a conversation about that. Well, we should definitely have that conversation. My administration is welcome to have that conversation. I'm looking forward to having that conversation. The time is now, you losers. Oh, Kamala, Elizabeth Warren, it's... Okay, I want to use this to pivot. We might have to come back to this. We're all over the board. But it's
it's my fault. No,
it's okay. it's fine. The social media of it all. This is like breaking news as we record this on the weekend. On the weekend in this year of our Lord 2019, a huge pro-Trump Facebook page got taken down. They had millions of people.
3.2 to be accurate.
Wow. 3.2 million people on this pro-Trump Facebook page. We've yet to find out why the page has been taken down, but this, ladies and gentlemen, dear gentle listeners, is the thing that had me concerned. And I think a lot of us were concerned about it a while ago, but they're just going to start taking people out one by one. They'll take you off Facebook, they'll take you off Twitter, they'll take you off Instagram and all these platforms if they don't like what you're saying. And then, of course, everyone on the left will feel justified and look at us and we're right, and then it'll just be a vacuum. It'll just be the left yelling in a vacuum on Facebook. And so that's why we're excited about other things that we have, other social media outlets, like who... Liberty Gimlet, who are we excited about?
LoudHub. Because this page was taken down, we are in the process of converting our Red Room to a Trump 2020 room, where any Trump supporter can come in and meet other people who support the president and plan events and plan tactics and do whatever they wish.
I had a lovely conversation with one of the big dudes from the Cloud Hub, and we're talking. We're going to be doing some talking in the future. It's a very exciting idea. I would like to support this endeavor. I eagerly await his electronic mail to me. But here's what the cool idea.
And his video channels.
Well, here's the cool thing for the people who are listening. And as of this moment, I got no skin in the game with Cloud Hub. I would like to have some skin in the game. Not like I have with my Trump 2020 pouches.
There you go.
If you need to eliminate moisture from, if you don't want mildew and moisture and keep your gun ammo safe and dry, Trump2020pouches.com. Trump2020pouches.com. They're actually fantastic. They're still working like a charm. These things are like, it's like Harry Potter magic. I see, I don't want to get on that tangent.
Short don't stink.
So, no, they don't. And the flipping, you know, my gym bag, I got one in the bathroom. It's a fantastic. And seriously, if you want to protect your guns and ammo from rust and all that other stuff, good Lord, don't buy some system you have to plug in. Trump2020pouches.com. But Cloud Hub, here's what I dig about it. Here's what I dig about it. And this is where I think, because there's a lot of other people who are trying to, you know, start social media things, but here's what I dig about Cloud Hub. You have like the main room, and that's where you're gonna, you know, get voices from all over, voices from the left, voices from the right, you know, blah 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 blah. Then if you're like, this is making me sick, I don't want to hear the arguments anymore, boom, you can go over to the room, the liberal room. And then if I don't want to do that, that's not doing it for me, boom, you can go over to the right room, the conservative room, the Trump room. Now they got an awesome news feed. They're going to be adding a video element to it. They're going to build it out. This thing, it's a very, very exciting possibility. I know there's a lot of technical challenges with stuff like this. However, it looks like they're going slow and steady. They're dotting their I's, they're crossing their T's, and they're adding these new elements. I was very excited when they added the news thing the other day. So, best of luck.
That will be getting a major makeover here shortly, too.
Yeah.
More outlets, more choice, the ability to build your own feed with the publications you like. So, yes, we're all about choice.
Yes. So, this big pro-Trump group gets kicked off Facebook. I'm sure they'll...
Want to hear the real crappy thing there? This dude has spent, with Facebook, over $100,000 to build that page by boosting ads.
Oh, it's...
So, he has literally given the censors $100,000, and they just went, poof, unpublished.
Yes. Yes. And they can do that whenever they want. Mm-hmm. So here's the following. So those people, they're in a fine kettle of fish. So they got to try to fight to get their page back and start raising holy hell. But here's what happens. Someone else now has voluntarily pulled their page from Facebook. Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were telling me earlier that someone.
Oh no, they still have the page. They just don't use it. You talked about the problem that Reno had trying to boost the comedy tour ad, right?
Yeah, Freedom to Laugh. Yeah, congratulations. Your boost has reached 7 people.
Yeah, it reached 7 people. A lot of conservative groups are finding the same problem. I mean, Deneen Borelli's videos, here's the deal, right? Went from millions of views to thousands of views. Her page was literally throttled.
Oh, the same thing's happening to Chad Prather and myself.
The thing that is most disturbing about it, and if you have not watched, you should watch at least one interview with Dr. Robert Epstein. He's a psychologist. He has been studying all of the digital ways that they manipulate information. His testimony in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee was gobsmacking. His interview with Glenn Beck, he's been on a couple of different podcasts at this point. And the thing is he was a Hillary Clinton voter, but he is more concerned about free and fair elections. He basically says that between Facebook and Google, they could move 15 million votes and you would never know.
Right.
And so that's terrifying. Those are literally technocrats.
Yes.
Unelected
yeah.
technocrats that can do that.
Absolutely. Very, very, very disconcerting. So here is the great question. What then must we do? What then must we do? We gotta have some kind of oversight. Somebody's got to be, like, who's watching the watchers? Somebody has to, because all these guys, you know, Facebook and Google and all of them, it's like, well, it's the algorithm. Well, somebody writes the algorithm. So let's take a look at that. You know, it's not that hard.
Well, I mean, the thing about an algorithm, right?
It's computer science.
So if you take a look at it, when we have our video channels, right, we're not going to recommend, we're not going to suggest, we're going to give you real search. So if you search for Michael Loftus or the Loftus Party, you will find Michael's channel. And we will rank our videos by what gets the most views.
Mm-hmm.
Purely, I mean, that's a pure arithmetic algorithm.
Yes.
Here are the videos that have been most watched in the last 24 hours, and here are the ones with the most discussion on them.
So
do you want to see what everybody's watching or what everybody's talking about?
Indeed. So here's. Which comes back to the what then must we do of it all? Because a lot of people, I know that they made this decision. Someone made the decision with Fox News, where like Fox and Friends, and it comes to me. It's funny. Like you go to a comedy club and like, oh, last week it was awesome. Like I start doing Fox and Friends on a regular basis, and then I find out they don't tweet anymore. They still have an account there, but they've been in
Your first appearance on Fox and Friends, they tweeted. Might have been your first and your second, and then it was over.
Right. It's hilarious to me in a kind of a womp womp kind of a way. So I don't know. Like, I think they still have a presence on Facebook, and they still have a presence on Instagram and YouTube and all that other stuff. But like people who like don't don't ditch. This is just my personal recommendation. Don't ditch Facebook yet. Don't ditch Twitter yet. But use that as a lever. Do the old social media kung fu and go, hey, you guys, I'm doing something interesting over here. You know, come on over here. That's what I don't understand. Like, there's conservative Facebook pages who are like, we're done with Facebook. We're leaving. Well, you know, before you jump out of the burning building, make sure you got a soft place to land. Social media kung fu, ladies and gentlemen.
Social media kung fu. Be everywhere.
Yeah, be everywhere. And then it's a very, very frightening thing to think about. Just the way the algorithms work, and like I'm so in the forest I can't see the trees. Like it affects the way I title my videos. It affects the way I put in the keywords and all that other stuff.
Probably even some of the cover photos and stuff.
Oh, you just don't. You just don't.
I mean, so I kind of look at it this way. Nobody uses MySpace anymore. I don't use Google Chrome anymore. I use Brave. I don't use Google search anymore. I use DuckDuckGo. I'm still on the social media platforms, but as Clout Hub builds out, I may transfer completely, because why do I want to keep supporting people with free content when they hate me?
Yes.
That's what actually gets me more than anything else, and that's why I have not opened Netflix since their garbage CEO decided my state was, you know, full of backward morons.
How do they decide that? What happened
there? Netflix. I love me some content on Netflix, but I'm not giving my money to people who hate me.
It's tough to do. It's tough to
do. That one really, I have to get really irked.
What did Netflix do? What was the straw that broke the gypsy's back on that one?
They threatened to take all their production business out of Georgia because of
which is the most. Like, don't even get me started on. Well, it actually do get me started on that giant piece of hypocrisy, because it's these companies are like Disney, you know, like we can't do business in Georgia because they don't have ample bathrooms for transgendered, partially paralyzed people with one eye and hearing problems. It's like they're prepared to do that. However, they will edit their movies according to the Chinese censors. Like, we've reached that point.
Oh my God, the NBA?
Yeah, that's where I've all that's where them. This is going. That is where, listen, I can't stand the NBA to begin with. I find it insanely boring. My buddy Jason Anarino has the best, I thought had the best joke about it. I wish he would give it to me. Where he's like
give me that joke.
He's like, basketball's cheating. It's just cheating. We've reached the point where it's like you've got a 7-foot giant standing underneath a hoop. You know, that's like 2 inches above his head. Somebody gives him the ball and he just slams it through. Oh, that's awesome. You're not allowed to brag about that. You're not allowed to brag about that kind of athletic achievement when you're just reaching up and putting a ball through a hole. That's like, that's like walking down the end of a bowling alley and just kicking the pins over and going, put me down for another strike. Like, basketball is insanely boring. I cannot stand it. I actively do not like basketball, the NBA, all of it. And I love the way that this whole thing has fallen out with Hong Kong and China and this jackhole Steve Kerr and these other people who are like, they are highly, they love to criticize the president. These jackholes think they know everything. Well, here's the problem with this policy, Mr. President, you selfish, scary man. Here's the problem with this policy. Here's the problem with that policy. And then you ask them a basic question, Hong Kong or China? And they go, well, you know, it's a difficult issue and I need to read up on it. What do you need to read up on it, you little hypocritical? You just want to know what answer your Chinese overlords want. That's all they want. Do you want to
actual concentration camps?
Oh, it's a nightmare. How can you possibly pretend? How can you possibly pretend not to know the answer? How can you the balls on these people? I don't know. I got to look into it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. And that's what I was saying in my my latest YouTube video is like, listen, I'm a capitalist. I'm all for, I think capitalism is a great system, entrepreneurship, blah, 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 blah. But we have reached a point where It's now about, is it money or is it morals? Is it money or is it morals? And for these guys to think, it's kind of about money. Huh? No, at some point you need to draw the line.
You know what I love?
Oh, yeah. But let's keep it radio friendly.
Yeah, no. There's a guy on Twitter who prints t-shirts. And his cost to print a t-shirt is $7. And he wants every NBA fan to give him $7 to print a free Hong Kong t-shirt. Because if he figures if the whole stadium shows up in them, they can't kick everybody out.
That is true. That is true. So, that is a great plan. Let's elevate that dude. There's another guy. You know what? I know I saved this tweet. There's another guy who used to be with Blizzard. Okay, Blizzard Entertainment. They do
totally caved.
They totally caved as well. And one of their big grand high poobahs just quit. He just quit, and he's going to start his own. And it's one of the stories that I want to follow. I want to support this guy. Oh, yeah, because, you know.
That's what I did with Brendan Eich, and that's why I use Brave. He made some contribution years ago to the traditional marriage movement in California, and they made Mozilla get rid of him. So I use Brave because that's his new product.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you just reminded me. As I'm searching this up, I want to talk about Beto O'Rourke and Ben Shapiro. That's
God.
Great. We'll get there. We'll get there.
God.
But I saved this tweet. No, this guy's name. I just want to get this on public record. The guy's name is Mark Kern, and you can follow him.
Oh, yes, I love him.
You can follow him on Twitter. It's at Grumms, capital G-R-U-M-M-Z.
Yep.
He was with Blizzard, this whole Hong Kong China thing. He's quit. So he's going to start developing, like, the big games. They call them AAA games. So he's going to try to do a AAA game. And crowdfund it and yada, yada, yada. He had a brilliant idea. Like, Fortnite is really big. Fortnite's a big game. Big update today. Very exciting. Overwatch is another big one. Overwatch, there's actually a league for this. It's a worldwide league. There's competitions. Their studios, where they have some of these competitions, are in Burbank. I drive by them all the time. The Blizzard Studios, yada, yada, yada. So there's a character from Overwatch, one of the girls you can play as, very cute, you know, yada, yada. This guy, Mark Kern, is saying, make her the face. Use that character's face, you know, put that on T-shirts. Put that, have her be, have this Overwatch character be like the representative of Free Hong Kong. And so then, as a counter move to that, China will tell Overwatch to take that character out of the game. Right? Because she will have betrayed, and then the Overwatch community will wake up, which I think is fantastic. So I would love to, we should get Mark Kern in touch with the guy who wants to do the Free Hong Kong t-shirts.
Right.
Get those guys in cahoot. I would love to see a stadium full of people wearing Free Hong Kong t-shirts that have this Overwatch character on them, and then the NBA is like, you all have to leave. That would be great television. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Sorry, we're canceling the game.
They're losers. They're total. Absolute losers.
I would go to an NBA game just to wear that t-shirt.
Same here. Same here. I would totally do. That's like the only reason I would go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like with basketball,
I would go there
if you're
just
a basketball
to be
fan. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It would be the best. And if you're a basketball fan, and you're like, oh, those guys are, yes, they run around a lot. Yes, they can do, that's really cool how they can shoot three-pointers. Yes, 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 I'll give that all to you. However, we need, like, violence or something in there. We need to raise the hoop. We need to make the ball heavier. They got to change it up. Yeah, the human body, like, if you look at, like, the way they used to play basketball, like in the 60s, and there was, you know, there was plays,
Jordan,
and you'd have to move the ball around. Yeah.
Yeah.
So basketball blows. Steve Kerr is a coward and a fraud, and that guy, it's just so boring. How can you possibly? How can you, the hypocrisy of it is just beyond for me.
Mm-hmm.
How you can even pretend to go, well, you know, I got to look at the historical context. They will take you. They will put you in a mental asylum. They will reprogram your brain, or they just won't let you out. Or they'll just let you work in a slave labor camp. Like China, We've deluded ourselves for a long time because everybody wants that big pile of money. And yep, there's a big pile of money over there. However, you still have to be an atheist to be a member of the Communist Party. There's still no freedom of religion. There is no freedom of the press. There's facial recognition cameras everywhere. It is
a social credit system where you can't take public transportation.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
It's awful. And they're trying to enforce their social credit system in terms of not criticizing the government in the U.S. using their money. And can I just give a shout out to our Loftus Party compatriot, Paul Hare, who has been writing about the Chinese influence in Hollywood since 2016. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah, that's the great, it's the wonderful thing. With the loftusparty.com and yada yada, we're ahead of the curve, kids. We're ahead of the curve. You come for the, you stay for the information. It's infotainment. It is it's crazy. And then you can say this, and this goes to this the Facebook thing, and it goes to the YouTube and the Google of it all. Mm-hmm. It's like China has a very they're being very open about it with their social credit. You know, the gamification
of
their society. America. With it over here, it's just kind of sneaking in, and it's just kind of being part of, because like I literally just said a few minutes ago, there's certain words I don't use because I know I'll get demonetized. There's certain pictures you just don't use. There's just like, so already I'm self-censoring because I'm trying to play with inside the system. And that's why, you know, having viable alternatives like Cloud Hub are so important.
But you know, the problem in the United States, and my good friend Mark Giller did a fair amount of writing on this, is because the left can't get the government to do it. So they can't get the government to stop detaining people at the border. They can't get the government to move on gun control. They're now asking private companies to do it for them.
Oof.
So credit card companies, they're petitioning them not to allow people to buy firearms on credit. They're in ammunition on credit. They're petitioning banks not to do business with private prisons or detention centers at the border. So they're actually using our free market to control behavior that they don't like.
Now, I'm agreeing with you 110% that is definitely happening. It's going on. And this is the wonderful thing to me about capitalism and all that other stuff. So ergo, you have things like Bitcoin, which are coming up in the world. Okay, so if you're not going to let me do this with my U.S. dollars, and if your credit card company is going to say, no, we don't do business that way, hey, I tell you what, start getting Bitcoin. Start getting that. They're just adding fuel to the fire of an alternative currency. An alternative currency that you can move around and actually do the things you want to do with and not be judged.
And I've heard some people actually talking about an alternative economy.
Yeah.
You'll have conservative credit cards and you'll have liberal credit cards.
I almost guarantee it'll happen. I almost guarantee it'll happen.
Well, I've actually heard some people say since that LGBTQ town hall that if they ever get into power and do some of the things they were talking about, that is what will actually break the country.
It very well might. I don't know. Like, I can see many different futures. I'm like Doctor Strange in the first Avengers. I see a lot of different futures and only a couple. Like, there's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere. So you will have to go. And this is where it seems to be heading. You have like states like California, which are just, you know, completely
insane.
Liberal, you know, policies, liberal this, liberal that, social justice. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And so you'll have to have, you know, conservative places like Texas and all the conservatives. Hopefully, you know, you go to Texas and then, you know, California declares bankruptcy. And then what happens? Do we literally start dividing the country up and just saying, okay, you guys, maybe, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's interesting
to
think about.
We'll see what happens, but they're literally talking about turning things like churches and charities and and schools who believe in traditional values into LLCs so they can then file discrimination suits against them.
Well, this kind of goes to the whole Beto O'Rourke thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Beto O'Rourke and Ben Shapiro, and, like, everyone's freaking out on Ben Shapiro, and Ben took, you know, Saturday off, being of the Jewish persuasion.
Correct.
And so, like, Twitter went nuts yesterday. I watched his tweet. It's an excerpt from his podcast.
Yeah, and I listened to the whole thing, and they deceptively edited it, but yeah.
But even with the edit that I saw, and I'm like, how this is a country. What if you haven't seen it, you guys? And I'm paraphrasing here, but like Ben Shapiro, Beto O'Rourke comes out and he gives some statement on some town hall, like, hey, if a church doesn't agree to marry same-sex couples, if they don't agree to do what the state tells them,
university, a school, yep,
yeah, whatever, they're gonna be in big trouble if there's a Beto O'Rourke
tax-exempt status.
Yeah, yeah. So Beto O'Rourke, if he's president, he's going to come after you. You will comply with his idea of what is good, or you will be in trouble. So Ben Shapiro's like, listen, man. And he's posing a possible future. He's
hypotheticaling.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, listen, if you come to take my kid out of my house, and you're gonna try to put my kid in some kind of pseudo indoctrination camp school, and not the school where I want him to go, we're gonna have problems.
I'll meet you at the door with a gun.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let you take my kid
because mm-hmm.
these are basic freedoms. These are basic freedoms. I will protect my right to do that, and I'll do it with a gun. And people flipped. People flipped. And this to me is like it's like black and white. It's like the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like choosing Hong Kong or the NBA. Okay,
yeah.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Easy.
Hong Kong or China, rather. But, like, I have, like, zero problem with what Ben Shapiro said. Seriously, if you're not going to protect your children, who are you going to protect? Where do you draw the line? There's nothing crazy about what Ben said at all.
His bigger point was simply this, and it's one that I've made in writing as well. I mean, my entire life, I've been about as supportive of gay marriage as you could possibly be. You know, love who you love. I don't care. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Never have. However, okay, as the right moved to the libertarian position of live and let live, which is what they all asked for, now they don't want to let you live as you want to live, even though you're perfectly willing to let them live as they want to live. It's no longer good enough to just let everybody live their own lives. Now you have to applaud. You will be made to care.
Yes. And
I don't. And I'm not gonna.
It's me neither.
I never
it's
have.
It's crazy. It's like these people who, like, they insist we must be married in the Catholic Church, we must be. It's like, listen, dude, we're not into that. Like the church is thousands of years old. Exactly.
Find
Go to
one.
The Unitarian Church of the Rainbow Unicorn. Have a good time. I hope it's a lovely.
Go to the Episcopal Church.
I hope you and Bill are really happy. Yeah. Oh no, this guy doesn't want to make my cake. Go to another bakery.
Why
There's
would you want someone who doesn't want to make you a cake to make you a cake?
Yes. So
that's what I don't get.
It's crazy.
You can't
I used to look at
someone
the,
to do a good job.
I used to look at like the NRA, like, oh, they're not coming for all the guns. Like the NRA is overreacting. They're not coming for all the guns. They're coming for all the guns.
Oh, they are.
It's like
absolutely.
Do what we say, or you're in big trouble. You have to believe. You have to have this belief system, or you're in big trouble. And that is that's Orwellian, man. It's 1984, and it is, and it's coming. It's here. So, yay, hooray, Donald Trump. Yay, hooray, Donald Trump.
Psychotic little House member back in her home district. We're going to end the NRA. Okay, everybody, just go back to the First Amendment. It's not just freedom of religion. It's not just freedom of speech. There's this nifty thing called freedom of association. I don't have to like you and like what you do. I just have to respect your right to do it.
Yeah. That's
Period.
What I'm talking about. It's
and the minute your fist connects with my face, it's on.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Those poor,
and yes,
those poor
I would
people
pull a gun
that.
And defend myself.
Oh sure, yeah, absolutely. But like those poor people who came out of that Trump rally, in like Minneapolis, and that was oh man, did you see that? It was super creepy, super creepy. It's all like the protesters are out, you know, outside of the arena, and they're going to start doing dastardly deeds and accosting people. And there's Ilhan Omar and the guy she's banging now. But they're like, you know, they have like face coverings. You can clearly see Ilhan Omar, but like her boy toy bangaroo.
Oh, they were with the resistance?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh,
she was
yeah.
So pissed because he was speaking in her district, though.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
I thought it was awesome.
But
here's the thing.
The turnout was huge.
So Trump supposedly has a planned rally in Georgia. I'm going to go.
Oh, my gosh.
I've never been to one. I'm going to go.
I'm going to try to figure out how to do it in Dallas.
I firmly believe that in Georgia, you will not see that. We don't really have Antifa here. Because people here have a lot of concealed carry permits.
Yeah. Well,
and we have great self-defense laws. And I don't think you are going to find a large number of people putting their hands on other people in the state of Georgia in that way. Because it's just not done.
Did you see the Vox reporter? She was interviewing a Trump supporter and he was wearing his Make America Great Again hat. And like then it is this huge gob of spit just hits him in the side of the face. And then and the Vox reporter is, or maybe it was Vice. But she's just horrified. She's just horrified. And you feel like going, yeah, honey, that's been going on since 2015. Yeah. That's been going on for years now. That was nothing. Yeah. And it's like she was shocked. And I'm like, well, there you go. That was actually light. That was actually not the worst of it.
Wasn't much.
So
the
media
is.
I mean,
look what they do to old people trying to go to listen to Dave Rubin talk.
Oh, that was horrible.
Look what they do to people whose political persuasion they don't even know in Portland. They just rip them out of their cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is any of this surprising to you?
So, yeah, the media is like slowly being forced to reckon with a little bit of that, the tip of the iceberg. However, I'm still shocked and amazed with the whole impeachment thing. This whole the lack of media curiosity about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and that whole thing. Evidently, Hunter surfaced today and made some kind of statement or typed up a statement and had somebody read it. Like, if his dad's elected president, he'll step down from his position of being in charge of $1.5 billion of Chinese government money. And
he actually did resign today. He didn't. He just said he would.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did. Maybe I got it wrong. But that's very big of you, Hunter. Very, very big of you.
Isn't that just kind of admitting that it never should have happened in the first place?
Well, it goes to the bigger issue. And once again, I think having read the transcript of the phone call, which I'm sure that you did as well, there's a fun little trick that people like to play. Because they're at one point, Trump does say the words, do me a favor. However, if you continue on and read as you follow that train of thought, it's like, do me a favor and then look into these servers, look into the Mueller report, he's talking about the 2016 election. So,
which was reported by Politico, by the way.
Yeah. So for me, there's absolutely zero quid pro quo. Like, I have no problems with that phone call. So we can argue about that. You can go, oh, he withheld the aid. Well, if you're withholding the aid and the person doesn't even know it's being withheld, if you're like, I'm gonna give you a balloon, and then the guy doesn't get the balloon till March. And you're like, oh, you were supposed to give him that balloon in February. Well, big deal. The guy didn't even know it. He thought it was coming in March. So, yeah.
And the most dishonest thing is somewhere in there, Zelensky talks about wanting to purchase javelins. That's not aid. That's stuff they wanted to buy from us, which they did.
And he's like, we're almost ready. We're almost ready to buy those. So
okay,
that's one thing. I find the lack of support from the Republicans on this really, really disturbing. And here's what this goes to. And I'm not trying to be Mr. High and Mighty guy. I find those people very boring. However, it is the problem that's baked into the system. I think that, okay, so Joe Biden goes over and he's the point man on Ukraine and China. And he hooks up his son. Hey, you should be the guy on this. I don't think they broke a law. I don't think they broke a law. I think it was perfectly legal. And I think Congress likes that it's perfectly legal. And then he goes over to China. Hey, you know what? My son, this is crazy. You guys have $1.5 billion you want to invest? This is nuts. My son just started an investment firm. What? Okay, there you go. So I think it was all perfectly legal. It's all shady as hell. It's super shady. And
Biden's position on the South China Sea, but yeah.
And that's where it gets really bad. However, if you guys don't think conservatives are doing this too, you're out of your mind. This is both sides. This is like, one of the many, many faces of the swamp. That's how these guys go into Congress and they're making, you know, $100,000+ a year, and they come out and they're multimillionaires. This is exactly the kind of thing. It's insider trading. It's getting your relatives hooked up with sweetheart deals. It's getting, hey, you made this contract happen. There's a little bonus for you. It's kickback. I'm sure it's all completely legal. That doesn't mean it's right. And that's why it's crazy. It goes back to you have to pick Hong Kong or China. And these people always love to say, oh, pick country. It's country over politics and all this other stuff. But like people on the right need to wake up too. Hopefully these super sweet gravy deals will have to come to an end. They'll have to end. One would hope, but I swear. There's people on the right with little sweetheart deals going on like this, and there's people on the left, and that's why when people on Facebook and other people are like, how can you still support Donald Trump? And it's like, man, I never thought that it would get this good in terms of like shining a light on the corruption and the gross abuses of everything.
And like he's going through all this stuff, and in a 24-hour period, lays down the bones for a first pass at a trade deal with China. He does an amazing rally in Minneapolis that has 19,000 people attending, and did something else. I mean, they give him no quarter at all, and in 24 hours, that's what he did.
It almost feels like you can hear the people criticizing you when you do it. But like, he's doing great. He's doing great. I'm super happy.
You like his tweets more than I like his tweets. I have a problem with putting national security information on Twitter, but you know, and now they're like the Syria thing just gets me, and I'm surprised I haven't been kicked off Twitter today.
Let's discuss that for a moment, because that's the other big story. The Kurds and Syria and the Middle East and blah blah blah, and Trump is like, the way everyone's portraying it.
I've had to explain this to like 12 of my non-political friends. Literally right. Asked. So here's what I have to say.
Yes.
A long time ago, there were borders drawn in the Middle East without any respect to culture or religion.
Like post-World War I, yeah?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we did this, and as a result, the same people who had been killing each other for 2,000 years continued to kill each other.
Yes. Shock.
Shocker. Now, when we get down to the Turks and the Kurds specifically, the Kurds are the PKK, which is part of which the group that we supported is part of in the larger context, right? A, they have no defined borders. They have no land. They have no country. There is no sovereignty. Number two, they are a designated terror group by the U.S. government because they've killed thousands of Turks in their own form of resistance.
Yes.
Turkey is never going to let them have land. Not going to happen. They are mortal enemies. So if you think we should have left those 50 guys there, you think there should be 50 guys there forever, because the primary religion in the area rejects a political solution. They don't believe in elections. It welcomes strongmen and theocrats. And that is not going to change in our lifetime.
It is such a confusing thing now. And then it comes down. This is the counter argument on this. It's like, we needed help in the region. We needed help defeating ISIS. So we teamed up with the Kurds. And now
we also had a vested interest in defeating ISIS.
Right. And they make it sound like we had an army. They make it sound like we had 30,000 people on the ground, 125,000 troops. It's like it was a very small number of dudes.
There were 50 guys. They were not regular troops. They were intelligence assets and special forces that were doing training.
And haven't they just been pulled back? And
they were just
pulled
back, but Turkey's like, oops, we might have hit your guys by accident. So now they're pulling all 1,000 that are there even further back. Not one American needs to die over this. It's been going on for thousands of years.
Well, here's what I say. Maybe this is simplistic of me. Like, if you helped us out, we had a common enemy, then we have like some kind of thing, moral obligation to make sure they're not wiped off the face of the map.
Do the sanctions on Turkey. That's fine. They're our NATO ally. We can't go to war with them.
Yeah. So if Turkey starts really, really laying down the hammer on the Kurdish people, we got to lay down the hammer on them. And I think that's what Trump threatened.
That's pretty much. But it was an economic hammer, not a military hammer. And here's the question I have for every member of Congress and everyone on the left, the anti-war left, okay, that is crying about this. You tell me. How many Americans need to die defending the Syrian border when you say defending our own border is immoral and not who we are?
Yes.
Then you tell me what the mission is. What is the mission?
Defend
the Kurds.
It's
just to stop Kurds from dying. Okay, we need to be there forever. And then tell me, since 5 Americans have died in the region since the beginning of this year, how many more Americans are going to die if we have to stay there forever?
It is it's the old quagmire thing. It's quicksand. And I feel like, you know,
we used to win. Then we helped people rebuild and then we got out.
Yeah. And like
I would like to go back to a military that goes in with a strategy. Executes the strategy. Like, at this point, if your concern is that ISIS is going to get out of their prisons, tell everybody to move the hell back and we'll drop a mother of all bombs. Right there. Boom. Gone.
I can remember joking about Iraq. And
make
like
it a parking lot.
I was like, if we're going to go in there and take it over, we need to build like shopping malls and Starbucks and movie theaters. And it has to be like so Americanized. And it's like the showplace of the Middle East.
I know, but it would still fall apart because the primary religion there rejects political solutions. They do not believe in elections.
Well, that's why you got to run the joint.
I don't want to
run the joint for a couple of years. This is part of the strategy. It's got to be hardcore.
We did run the joint for a couple of years, and now it's falling apart again.
Don't you remember those lovely people with their little thumbs held up with the purple dye on them and they were having elections and yada, yada, yada? Look, it's like what MacArthur did in Japan. It's like what MacArthur did in Japan. If a Shia kills a Sunni, then you kill the Shia. No one's going to lay hands on anybody. Like hardcore law and order. Hardcore law and order. If somebody breaks a window, you're going to whatever. That would have been my
plan. Our job.
That would have been, you don't even want to, I used to tell this joke all the time when people criticize George Bush. Anybody would be better president than him. Anybody. I'm like, not me. You're not prepared. You are not prepared
for what I
for
would
the
do.
Level. Seriously, I would go full on Darth Vader. I'd be like, we will rebuild Iraq together and you and I shall rule the Middle East. I would have laid down the hardcore law. And I would have had a dismount solution. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you through 3 election cycles. I got a 12-year plan. We're going to go through, and whoever's not listen, we're going to use the U.S. Constitution. We're going to scratch out U.S. and we're going to put up Iraq. And whoever's not following the law, and there's going to be courts, and you can protect private property, and everybody gets a gun. It would have been awesome. It would have been awesome. And it'd be like Shangri-La over there now.
Do you remember during Bush 1 where there was that video going around on TV and other places called The Luckiest Man in Iraq, where the guy was driving over the bridge and behind him.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have made that the general tenor of everything, like just boom.
Yeah. I
have no patience for people who are trying to drag us back to 700 BC.
Me neither. And I think you can't, in my opinion, and again, I'm just some schmuck, you know, with a comedy show and a podcast and a website. But like, I know it sounds oversimplified, but like, as I say it, I'm like, it would have worked. It would have worked. Just like, hey, people of Iraq, welcome. Here's your new constitution. This looks incredibly like the American constitution. It is. Guess what? It works, you tool. You're allowed to protect your property. You have basic human rights that the government will make sure that you have.
But everybody does. Not just
but everybody
like
does.
You do.
So yeah. If you form a mob and you start going into some Sunni neighborhood killing people, guess what? We're going to throw you all in jail, and then you'll have a trial, and you get a lawyer, and you can put up a defense. And
you'd make them have lawyers?
Oh, I'd do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's good for a couple hundred years, then people start to abuse it.
Yeah. You can't even have the rational conversation of why, how long, and how many.
Oh, it's crazy. It's actually crazy.
And that,
the other thing I would have done, I would have started their calendars over. This is year one. Go ahead.
Why, how long, and how many have been the essential questions in every military action for, like, ever until Vietnam?
Yeah. Vietnam was a huge mistake,
yep.
Right? But you need to learn from that. You need to learn from that.
And nobody did.
However,
we've been in Afghanistan longer than we were in Vietnam.
You know what drives me crazy about that? He's like, we're not making, if we're building stuff, they need to put that on TV. Like, what are we, like, seriously, that's the incredibly frustrating thing. We're just kind of hanging out. We're being cop. Yeah. Well.
But breaking news domestically this week, I think, I'm going to put money on it.
Go for it.
I'm 90% sure there's some conservative pundits out there that know exactly who the whistleblower is, and it does not look good.
Well, will that story be covered? Will that? Because I'm assuming this we're going to find out this guy was working with the Joe Biden campaign.
Turns out they think he was his CIA resource in Ukraine.
Yeah. So the whole
who also moved to the NSC over at the White House during the Obama administration, held over into the Trump administration, and is actually accused of leaking in the past. And he has a couple friends who are on the NSC with him who now work for guess who?
I don't know.
Adam Schiff.
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah,
it does.
It really doesn't look good. It really doesn't look good.
Well, this is why people
have
to raise a stink.
We basically have a leaker that wrapped himself in whistleblower protections.
Yes.
And this is why people need to raise a stink about it. And reading what people are putting out there, I'm at 90% confidence that they got it right.
Well, here's the great thing. I don't think the media is going to make the turn. They're not going to make the turn.
Because
it's just like they were all in on the Russia thing. They're going to be all in on this. They're going to say, well, it does that. That's a secondary issue. That's a secondary issue. We can't have a president who does quid pro quo. Well, they're going to try to make it about the phone call, the phone call, the phone call.
And he didn't anything right about the phone call.
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Oh,
it was unhinged.
My God.
And that is, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We need the Fourth Estate, but they have to try to be journalists. You have to try just a little bit. You have to make an attempt a little.
Guys.
Wait. I wrote a thing for the LoftistParty.com last week, which was really 7% of journalists identify as Republicans. 7%.
13% of Americans think they're reliable.
It's really bad news. It's really bad news.
And you guys, I want you all to find in your life somebody who is obsessed about you as Brian Stelter is with the folks at Fox News. He's writing a book about Fox. He's never worked there.
Yeah. Yeah, I will
and
be
Shep's
very...
gone. I'm not crying.
I'm not crying either. And
dude, after he almost cried because Tucker's guest called his guest a moron... And he, like, got all verklempt when he was talking to Judge Knapp about it, because Judge Knapp was the one that the guy called a moron.
Yeah.
I mean, literally looked like he was going to break down in tears. I'm like, what are you doing?
I've
like,
never...
you know Tucker's going to come back at you, like, twice as hard for this, right? You know that, right?
And you've got people, like, well-respected people, like Neil Cavuto over there going, well, Shepard Smith is one of the best journalists you will ever find.
Breaking news guy. They're all saying he was a good breaking news guy.
I'll believe that. I'll take that.
And that's fine. Maybe he was the best breaking news guy. But watching him at this point is painful. Tucker Carlson criticizes Trump more than Shep will ever say that Trump did something right.
Yeah. It's
like when you've just gone full to the other side. It's part, you know, there's some people I just can't watch because they're so pro, like, Trump can do no wrong. I can't do that really either.
Yeah. I will
much.
I will be interested to see what really happened there. I'll be very interested to see what really happened there. He had some more time on his contract. He asked out, evidently, and this
people
is according to his statement.
People seem very docked by it, so I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a big building. There's a lot of talent. Everybody has their own thing going on. Evidently, Shep said he wanted out. Fox, he claims, Fox said, hey, we want you to stay. And he said, no, I don't think that's the best way to go. So Fox said, okay, go with God. Have a good one. What happened? What happened between his broadcast on whatever day, Thursday, and then Friday when he said, I'm out? That's what I want to know. That to me is interesting. Okay, you guys, a fantastic.
I think we'll be talking about the whistleblower next week when we're on the air.
I really hope so. I really hope so. I will be
a little podcast to listen to.
There you go. There you go. So we got freedom to laugh. Oh, and then I'm going to ask you publicly here. I need some. I want to get this new logo on the Loftus Party store. I got a Teespring store. Opened because I was just excited and I wanted to go. I got these sweet, sweet t-shirts, and I'm just blatantly wearing them on every Fox appearance.
Good.
I wore it on Dana Perino's show. I wore it on Fox and Friends.
You should give Dana
yesterday
Perino
morning.
A t-shirt.
Yes. Yes, I should. I should.
And you
oh,
should give one to Brian and Ainsley.
And I want to say this publicly, too. For Patreons, here's the deal. We have a level system now. If you are a Loftus Party Patreon, first of all, you're a cool SOB. But if you're doing if you're at the $10 level, I'm giving you a shirt. And listen, and I know a lot of you guys because we communicate.
Send in a picture.
Yeah, you got to have a picture of you or someone you love wearing the shirt. But here's the deal: with Teespring, they just started this new promotional thing. Where it's they'll give me like it's at cost. All I have to do is cover the shipping, which is my pleasure. So if you're a patron, I'm going to try to figure it out how I go back through Patreon and find the people who are at the $10 level or above to make sure you get your free T-shirt. But make sure, and you can do it through Patreon. Reach out. I need your address. I need just to know what kind of shirt you want. I got the red one with like white writing. Looks sweet. I got a black one with white writing. I just got a white one with I love these shirts. I think they're fantastic, and I want to make sure I want to hook up the Patreons. You guys have been so awesome and generous. So that's the show. Houston on Tuesday, Dallas with El Presidente. Presidente Donald Trump. I wish I was doing the rally. Oh my God, if I could go out, I'd love that. If I could speak at one of the rallies, I would crush. I would crush. So that's what's going
gotta
on.
Be the crowd warmer upper.
You say that. Mm-hmm. You say that. I don't know if I could ever do it at a, I'd love to do it at a rally, but there's other events where people are talking. People are talking. We're going to try to make some magic happen. That's all I'm going to say right now. That's all I'm going to say right now. Yeah.
I'm trying to do a little magic.
We're going to, oh, the CPAC thing has to happen. The mm-hmm. CPAC thing has to happen. I want that to be a blowout. All right. Great show. Fun. You guys have a great week. TheLofficeParty.com. You're invited to post. Sign in. You can post. Let me know what's going on. We will talk to you next week.